This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noah Lim and Kusi Chuang in the studio this morning. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dan Romanoff, analyst with The Morningstar, on a very hot stock at this point, Zoom Video Communications, and getting his thoughts on whether this stock is maybe, is the next big thing, or is it overvalued at this point? I think it's trading at around $150 at this point. Now, first though, let's take a look at the wider global markets at this point. Chuang, how are the Asian markets that are open doing?
Well, the Nikkei is up at this point in time. They are trading at 19,283 points, down by 1.4%, and the Kospi in Korea is trading at about 1,828 points, down by 1.5%, and of course Australia is 5,346 on the S&P ASX, down by more, 2.2%. Of course, all following America's Q and corporate earnings season, led by the banks, which have all set aside huge amounts of billions in provisions.
Yeah, that was some really big news. The fact that they've set aside that amount of money. I think it's some banks have put aside five times what they normally put aside for reserves in terms over there. And Noel, how did on the back of that actually? How did the U.S. markets do overnight?
Well, the Dow closed down 1.9%, S&P 500 down 2.2%, NASDAQ was down 1.4%.
Yeah, and I think despite all these numbers, Zoom was up 4 to 5%, so definitely something to pay attention to. I'll call later in about 10 minutes. But right now, taking a look at the wider global markets, we speak to Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. The Fed Beige Book was released, showed that almost all economic data activity has stopped. And the question is, how difficult will it be to restart it? Do you expect even more contraction?
Yeah, it'll be very difficult. I mean, as we talked about before, this is a government-mandated shutdown, and so it's going to take a lot of fiscal stimulus to get things restarted. This is why you've seen governments come out with such large stimulus programs. This also is not a situation, we don't believe it's a situation where central banks can wave a magic wand and really juice monetary policy to get things started. It's not that kind of problem. This is really a problem that has to be addressed with fiscal stimulus and direct spending from governments.
Is there enough fiscal stimulus so far?
No. you know, we're 2 weeks into the second quarter. And when we look at all of the countries where the orders to not work are in place, it's going to be at least 2 to 3 to 4, maybe 6 weeks before some countries are up and running. And because this is a government-mandated order, those governments have to find a way to compensate individuals and companies for those close-down orders. Otherwise, you have catastrophic economic contraction. So don't forget, government spending is a key component of the GDP calculation. So if you have government spending as a substitutional factor to consumption and investment, then you can still grow your economy or have it not contract as much as it would. So, you know, governments are feverishly trying to find where they can spend. But I think many governments don't really have the money because they've accumulated so much debt over the last 10 or 20 years. They don't have the money to be able to stimulate the way they need to.
Tony, Mexico has been downgraded by Fitch to just one level above junk. Do you think this portends a rash of similar downgrades by other agencies?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I think emerging and middle-income markets are going to have a tough year, and that's the case because we have a strong U.S. dollar and are likely going to have a stronger U.S. dollar. And on a relative basis, emerging market currencies are going to have a real uphill battle. So those emerging markets that are export-dependent will have a tough time as well as we see consumption collapse. So I don't want to sound entirely pessimistic. I'm actually quite hopeful once we hit, say, July or August. But, you know, Q2 is a very, very difficult situation. And the quicker governments can get their countries moving from an economic perspective, the better off we are.
So, Tony, let's move back to the U.S. for a bit. The banks, the big banks, have started releasing their Q1 results, with J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and Citi all reporting significantly lower profits, and more in particular, huge provisions there, some as five times more than usual. What does this tell you about the broader economy there, or what they're expecting at least?
Well, they're trying to pack all the bad news in now so that for Q2, they can say, look, we accounted for that before, and they can report kind of better numbers in Q2. Again, this is all relative. So a lot of companies are going to report horrific numbers for Q2. But the U.S. government has come in and encouraged loan repayment to be delayed and backed up a number of loans as well. So should these provisions be larger than they are or as large as they are? Maybe that's a prudent thing to do, but it looks really like these provisions should have been in Q2, not necessarily in Q1. So I think they're being conservative, and I think that's fine. But I think to some extent, this really is just packing all the bad news or what they expect to be the bad news into Q1 so that they can look better later in the year.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you, actually, Tony. Do you think they're trying to pack as much bad news in this quarter as possible? But
yes.
But I think on the call yesterday with Bank of America's chief financial officer, he also seemed a bit at sea in terms of really putting a finger on exactly what kind of quantum provisions might lead to in the next quarter. Do you think they really know what's happening around the corner, do you think?
I don't think they know. And I know that U.S. banks are really facing serious problems with these PPP, these small business loans. They're just overwhelmed with the number of applications for these small business loans. So that loan processing is pretty inefficient, and it's not all the bank's fault because it was thrust upon them pretty quickly. So they're kind of doing the best they can, but those are not their most efficient operations. So they're having to just adjust to where the attention is. So I think they don't know how bad it is. And until we know when some of these stay-at-home orders will be lifted, nobody really knows. And it's the same thing in Asia as it is here. You see all these places closed, and it's a problem. And until it's lifted, we really don't know the full extent of the economic damage.
Well, speaking about Asia, even after better-than-expected March trade figures, China's People's Bank of China cut medium-term lending rates by 20 basis points. What do you read from what they just did?
Honestly, guys, I really think 20 basis points isn't going to do anything. I mean, nobody's going to take a loan out because it's 20 basis points cheaper. What China needs is a very large fiscal stimulus package to make sure that their factory workers and their services workers are given maybe not a full wage, but enough of a wage to continue to get by. Our major worry for China this year is a very sharp contraction of industrial production, meaning manufacturing, because although the trade data came out, it's possible that it's true. I'm not really sure about that. But we're looking for contraction in exports starting in March, starting in February, but through March, April, May, simply because the consumption markets are not there. There is a global demand problem. So there's a demand problem domestically in China, but there's also a demand problem in the rest of the world. So how can China, which is an assembly point and a maker of finished goods, how can China have kind of relatively normal export data when the rest of the world isn't buying? It's just not possible. So, what we're worried about is the industrial production contraction in China, and we're worried about deflation in China. We think deflation will be worse in China than in many other parts of the world because of the dependence on manufacturing. So if manufacturers aren't making stuff, their workers aren't working, and so they don't have the money to buy stuff. And so that creates a huge gap in demand, which is likely deflationary, which is a big, big worry for us.
I'm wondering, though, I mean, if it's not likely to move the needle by too much, why would they cut interest rates?
I think a lot of central banks right now are going through the motions, hoping to kind of ride on the coattails of the big moves that the ECB, BOJ, and Fed are doing, right? But the PBOC is taking some big moves. So I'm not saying that they're not doing their part. They're definitely playing a part. But little moves like this, I think what we've seen is generally a big action is taken. We saw this with the first Fed action. We saw this, and this is the central bank, but with the OPEC move over the weekend, right? A big action is taken, and the markets really just yawn. They don't care that a big action has been taken. But what happens is a series of smaller actions are then taken, and markets take notice. So if anything, I think this 20 basis point cut is one action among many that the PBOC is planning so that they can gradually feed that market expectation. But again, the markets are really bored and not satisfied by a single big move. They're looking for a series of moves to be satisfied and to gradually kind of re-push, say, positive expectations into markets. But 20 basis points is not going to do it, especially when you're looking at a fall in manufacturing, a fall in wages, a fall in consumption, and potential deflation. Nobody's going to take out a market rate loan when they have all these other worries to tick down their list.
All right, Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Zoom video communications and whether its meteoric rise is maybe a bit short-sighted. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.